past us well beyond the pandemic. Peter, sorry.
Good. I'm so sorry. I just want to jump in and just build off of Joe's point. Hi, this is Annie from Neighbors Together. You know, I think that we really understand that we aren't in an emergency, and yes, we are going to have a state budget season where we have a better chance of passing some sort of rental assistance at the state, but we know that any of those efforts are not going to be up and running at their full capacity at any point. Like, we know that HSS, they were fighting to, you know, last year in our budget fight, we were looking to increase it by like, you know, to have enough money for like to meet a fraction of the need. And we know that with Intro 146, people have these vouchers in hand right now, and it's going to make a meaningful difference between now and the time that people are going to be moving back into congregate shelter, where HSS or HAVP, even if we fight as hard as we do and get it passed and funded in some capacity, is not going to be at its full is full capacity for years. And so I do just want to say that point before we pass it on to Peter.
Here's the point. I don't agree with you, but that's okay. We can keep talking that point. I hear where you're coming from. I believe we could make this change right away if we got the right support element. But I take your point in terms of the urgency.
So can we move?
Okay.
Yes, Peter, take it away.
Okay, I'm going to ad lib at this point. Commissioner, you've invested more than 40 years on issues of making sure that there was shelter and housing, and we applaud your efforts, but we also realize that at one point you actually stated in a panel that you wished that you had gone for permanent housing as opposed to shelter, and the building of over 60,000 beds and the flourishing of homelessness in our city has proven you right. And from our point of view, passing 140, Intro 146 would be a major start in an emergency, because emergencies put forward opportunity as well as crisis. And in this crisis, we feel that pushing 146 would be
more media,
both in ending a crisis and ending the crisis of having a giant system that doesn't function. It actually takes people backward and cripples people. And we're hoping to work with you both on 146, and if you're willing to work with us in the state on having a voucher, an access voucher, we appreciate the efforts and we're willing to work with you. But we've come to the conclusion that passing 146 in this emergency, it's an opportunity to save lives and to cut costs. So support, and we're definitely on the table if you support and working in the state to pass the housing access voucher. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter, for that. And so, did I miss anybody? Yes.
I would like to ask one.
Yes, go ahead.
Great, thank you. Going back to the question about costs and savings, which I know is a little different than what you were talking about, Commissioner Banks, but related to Roberto's presentation, you know, one of the things we've heard, I mean, we've done a pretty involved modeling of costs and savings of what we think this would result in for the family shelter system. And, you know, we've heard from, you know, various sources that the city doesn't agree that there could be cost savings. And I don't know if that's true. This is the first time we're talking, so I don't know what your position is on this. But I wanted to ask you, as we thought it out, we think that there could be two sources of cost savings from this. We think increasing the value of the voucher will help people move out faster, a little bit faster. We also think it will mean more people are able to leave shelter with a subsidy versus without a subsidy, which would reduce the return to shelter rate, you know, and that those two things, you know, over time would be bringing immediately and then cumulatively over time would be bringing down the census. And that would help us get out of hotels more quickly. It would help us shut down shelters more quickly. You know, so it seems to us that there definitely are savings here that could go towards funding this. Is that analysis correct? What is your position on that?
You personally have been to group a number of times, and I know sometimes people ascribe to me the ability to, make...
On the hunt for an apartment for over a year and a half. I got my voucher last year, and, trying to find housing with the City Fed voucher has been unsuccessful. I call a list of over 100 brokers a day. The biggest issue that I've been facing is that the voucher amount is under the market rate in New York City. Landlords, brokers, the rent is higher than the voucher. The voucher, it's no one is accepting that rate. It's not enough for a single individual. And although, you know, there are other rental programs, I am suitable for the City Fed voucher. I make that amount. I am employed. I am a city worker as well. And I am having trouble finding housing due to the voucher amount. I would highly suggest that the City Fed voucher amount be increased. There are data showing how much the amount can, if bringing the voucher amount higher, how it can, I don't know if anyone's going to pull up on the screen right now, but there is data showing the available amount and highlights to increase the voucher. Secondly, as everyone is aware, it's COVID. Everyone is trying to find housing. This is a state of an emergency. You know, to have this issue with the housing voucher, you know, during this time, it should be the number one concern for all of our elected officials. I am literally begging for people to increase the City Fed voucher, increase this bill. Intro on 146, that is the main focus of this meeting right now, is to literally increase the voucher. There are a lot of issues that do come with, you know, like the voucher, like people are being discriminated. There is a lot of racial injustice issues. Black and brown people are literally suffering due to this voucher. I just want to mention that there are so many people, there's over 80,000 people in the shelters, and the vouchers are not working. Literally, no one is accepting this. So, and my last, and to keep it brief as well too, my last point that I do want to stand out is, I am in a single woman shelter, and we are currently placed in a hotel shelter. The next step from the hotel should be permanent housing with individual who have a voucher. We shouldn't be placed back into congregate shelters with the voucher. The next step should be getting us out. And when I say us, I don't mean me and the people who are here, us as the 80,000 homeless people in New York City out of the shelter and increasing the City Fed voucher. I just want to say thank you for your time.
Good afternoon. My name is Julia Hawthorne, and I am currently a homeless sheltered family in a New York City hotel shelter. And I'm also currently a City Fed voucher holder, and I am currently looking for housing. It is myself and my two teenage kids, which are opposite sex. I gained this voucher in July of 2020. And as of today, I have yet to find a place suitable for me and my children to call home. Because as I have found out, $1,580 is very low for a two-bedroom apartment, which me and my family qualify for. $1,580 is actually a one-bedroom amount in the New York City market rate. And my thing is, we also have COVID. Now, as far as that goes, inside of my hotel room, I can't even open up a window. So that right there is a very big restriction on how me and my family can be safe inside of a New York City shelter. But guess what safe really means for my family? Us having our
more
own home
media.
I can open up a window for us to get fresh air in and stale air out. And as I have found in my research, with a voucher of 2040, I can tell you we would have a home. But it's not just me. As the other young lady said, there are 80,000 of us that are in need of homes. And if the goal is for us to gain a home, then we should be given the correct tools to help us to gain a home. And right now, the only way I see for me and my family to get suitable housing is by passing Intro 146. And once again, I thank you for listening. And my question to you, Commissioner Banks, is what is your feeling on Intro 146?
Thank you very much, Ms. Thorburn. I'm going to assume that you would like to have everybody speak and then I'll respond. Am I approaching me in the right way? I want to make sure that I hear from everybody, and then I'll be happy to answer your question.
Well, we have a long agenda, Commissioner Banks, and this is the way we would like for it to go in order like this. So we would like to have you to speak right now.
Okay. I want to just make sure because I don't want to...
No, we understand. You can speak now.
Thank you. First of all, let me just say I appreciate the opportunity to hear directly from people that are receiving services from us. I wanted to give you a couple of observations that I have, but I came into this call wanted to actually hear from people as opposed to telling you here's where we are. But I will say that I come into this issue from the following perspective. We have asked the state to increase the rate for state thefts, and then we would be able to increase the rate for city thefts. I understand that the intro requires us to increase the rate for city thefts despite the state keeping their rate low. We've asked the state to increase their rate because we're very concerned about all of the costs of the program being borne by New York City rather than shared with the state in the way that the two programs currently work. And I want to just give one example, I think, of successful advocacy that we have done with some of you, I know with Vocal in particular, on the 30% rent cap. We all joined together, and New York State had to have a 30% rent cap for HASA residents. And that prevented a massive cost shift of what is partially a state responsibility and partially a city responsibility to New York City. And so I would urge you, as you're talking to me, to think of the following issue. There is a piece of legislation in Albany that would do exactly what you want done in the city, and would raise state theft, and therefore would result in us having the ability to bring city theft without all the costs being borne from the city. That is housing stability support, and I want to urge a very successful advocacy effort.
Thank you for that, Commissioner. And so right now,
the state to increase the state rental assistance levels, and we would follow behind that. If you want to do the city legislation, I would urge. Amounts, because we ourselves asked the state to increase the state theft level in order to address the kind of issues the first two speakers raised.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for that, Commissioner. And so right now we're going to transition into our next part of our agenda, and that's with our brother Roberto.
Hello, Mr. Banks. My name is Roberto Mangual. I am associated with the Homeless Can't Stay Home, and I am also a single men's shelter tenant. Now, I see that you brought up the matter of finances between city and state. But due to my knowledge and the numbers that I've had put together, the finance is already here in the city, as we can check. Everything that I'm bringing to your attention right now, as you can see, comes from the budget letter that I received directly from HRA when I walked in directly into an HRA office and asked for a public assistance letter. And these numbers are based on that. As you can see, and we all know, HRA pays a monthly fee of $3,500 for a single man or female to lay or be housed in a single shelter. The red line comes to show what HRA...
Today is Monday, July the 12th, 2021. More media spotlight is on the women at the Fifth Avenue Hotel here in Manhattan, New York. In case you haven't been around, the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, wants to move 8,000 homeless New Yorkers back to Congress shelters. So more media got a chance to speak to some of the ladies at the Fifth Avenue Hotel, and this is what they had to say.
I'm currently in the shelter right now. I've been here for 9 months. I feel really, really like traumatized about the situation. They're trying to stuff us back in places that are unsanitary, and the health conditions that people have, they should not be around any of that. You have female, you have things that go on where there's blood and bathrooms that we are gonna have to share amongst each other versus where we're at now. You have her pads or ankles, you have all kinds of stuff, and nobody should be living in a place where it's unsafe, unsanitary, and mentally, physically, emotionally, with no help whatsoever, not even the fact of guidance on help with an apartment. They're about to move us out of the shelter, out of a hotel where it's not.
So Santel, if I can intervene just for a second, if you can touch a little bit more and go a little bit more on how people's health has been declining in the shelters here in New York City and how unhealthy that is, if you can just comment on that.
Well, a lot of people have a lot of asthma, heart murmurs, diabetes, physical issues, surgery, mental issues. And they're not even trying to be reasonable or accommodating or even having the compassion on that note. That is not safe, nor is it sanitary. And it's not safe on either end because people are sick. So you don't know how one person's sickness is going to cause and affect somebody else's sickness in any harm's way. As far as the sanitary part, you have a lot of people in the building that doesn't live like everybody else. So they're exposing people to other bacteria and germs, and these are bathrooms and things that we have to share amongst each other. We're all going to be breathing on top of one another, not knowing where one person came from, and that one person can affect 20 people just from leaving the building, going somewhere, and then coming back in the room and breathing or being in an environment with other people. And I feel like that's very unsafe and humane because the people that are staying us there, they're not living like that. So why would you treat somebody else like this is a dog pound, or this is jail, or this is a group home? This is supposed to be a place where we're supposed to be trying to get ourselves on our feet. Everybody doesn't have the majority of benefit other than like the mayor does.
But what's interesting about this here is that you have people that's working in the hotels, like Evica here, and Evica, if it's possible, can you just touch lightly about how New Yorkers are being stored, working New Yorkers are being stored up in hotels and not able to move forward? What's that about?
Well, you feel me, Chantel? We're both working females. Like, you know, like, it's crazy because they say the shelter system, right? This is what they say. They say, oh, people only go to the shelter because they don't gotta pay rent and they live freely. They don't wanna get out the shelter. Well, I'm living proof, excuse my language, I have an income. I don't wanna live in the shelter. I want my own keys. I don't wanna go on the floor and be like, ninth floor, wanna get in. Who wants that? No, I'm not adapting to this. I'm 31. My kids get to stay out longer than I do. It's a problem with that.
And then you got families that be in family shelters. They can be outside
some of the
kids, but they don't have a curfew. But I'm a grown woman that has a job and I have to be in here clocking by 10, and God forbid if I miss the curfew by 1 minute, they're locking me outside and they won't open the door.
And then if you miss 11, they lock you outside the 2. And then the other night with the ones over here, after they threw out all our food and we found out we were staying for Tuesday, she was hungry. She don't eat the food that they give us. I wouldn't even feed it to my kids.
I wouldn't feed it to the dog.
If I don't feed nothing to my kids, that means I ain't gonna eat it. Because I'm not feeding them nothing I wouldn't. And it's more. They locked her out until what, 3, 5 in the morning?
5 in the morning.
And they let her back in the building.
So what would you like to tell New Yorkers who don't know, who really don't know how it is in these days, even before the pandemic, how people are struggling inside the system and trying to move forward?
I would say, to be honest, don't speak on what you don't know unless you're not living it. I was scared to come into the shelter because I didn't know from all the stories that I've heard and what people had told me, I was terrified. And it took my family to convince me, my daughter, my 13-year-old, for me to be like, you know what, enough is enough. I need to really get myself together. And me trying to do that, I would appreciate it if I was still having the support and love from our city. Because everybody is not trying to mooch off the city. Like Erica said, we are working really, and we do take care of our business, and we do everything that we're supposed to do. So we're asking the city, we're from you. We pay taxes, we do everything we're supposed to do. We are law-abiding citizens.
More media.
Treat us as such. Treat us how you would want to be treated.
Thank you.